It is time for Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets. Jim is, of course, a very independent voice. He can talk about Wall Street, the economy, politics, sports.
The Mets,
the Yankees, everything except the lawn. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is. Jim, I won't talk about the lawn, Lynch.
I think he can talk about the lawn. You've had lawns, haven't you?
Long Ranger speaking.
That's right. See, Lawn Ranger, there he is. And more to the point, I bet that your kids know how to deal with lawns too, because they didn't have to just grow up in the concrete, even if they did grow up in the concrete hills of New York, they still know what a lawn is.
Have your kids ever, to be honest with me, Jim, now I want you to be very honest with me. Have you or your kids ever pushed a lawnmower?
Yes.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Well, you have. Your kids have it, right?
Of course they have.
I'm not asking you.
Well, my kids grew up in the northern part of Westchester, so, and the land they were on was kind of rustic. So I can't say that they did, but I did. Anyhow, it is a lovely experience.
Well, you were like me. You used the lawnmower that was with the two wheels and the rotating things. The manual lawnmower.
In fact, sometimes mine had one wheel.
No, that's what we used. We used they used to send us out where I lived, and that was you got to use that, and you got to do an acre of land
pushing that thing.
Yeah.
I remember thinking.
So now you know why I got fat when I got away from home, because I didn't have to do all that stuff.
Riding mower.
But anyways, that's right, a riding mower. Jim, let's get away from the lawn.
Anyhow, I hope you all had a great weekend. And CNN had a special program, Colin Quinn, a stand-up guy who's been around for a while. He has a show called Blue and Red States. I'm certain I don't have the whole title. It's an hour. It's a one-man show. And in this day and age, it was a lot of fun watching it, because it was a relief for me, and I think for a lot of people, of all of the stuff we're going through politically. He basically takes everybody over the coals. With humor, with psychology, with whatever. But he kind of throws it up in the air and makes people look at it and laugh at themselves, no matter what side they're on, left, right, or indifferent. And if they can't laugh at themselves after a guy who's doing it in good faith, then, you know, what can I tell you? Get a life.
Yep.
Anyhow, Colin Quinn, it'll probably be repeated on CNN. It was a lot of fun. We commemorated our many, many veterans over the many years of existence of this country. And Joe Mantegna does something 18 years in a row now on Memorial Day evening on television. And it's wonderful singing, but if you missed it, but really a lovely tribute to our armed forces. However, what I was impressed with, and just want to point out, the continual interspersing of various hosts making sure that the veterans and their families knew that there was help available to them by just getting in touch with a certain agency. And they did highlight some of the tremendous, incredible stories of people who served and suffering and their families. It was quite uplifting, although it was quite serious in spots. But I think for you in the audience, if you do know a veteran or a family and they're possibly in trouble, you might want to reach out to them in terms of helping them get to those agencies that can help them. This problem of PTSD and PTSD and so forth, that's going to go on. And the key is the families who are left behind, they have children. But there are ways, various veterans organizations that do take care of some of those kids and are available to them. So you might want to keep that in mind. We've had quite a week, if it wasn't so, a weekend, actually, week. If it wasn't so serious, you could really laugh. The current president is not beginning, he continues to act. If you all remember Jerry Lewis, the frenetic comedy guy who was very entertaining at one point when that type of humor was the kind that people appreciated. But I just want to remind you, just in a very factual way, because I think, unfortunately, many in this country have begun just accepting the behavior of the head of the greatest nation in the world, the man who is supposed to manage an economy and of 300 million people. We've gone in North Korea in about a year from fire and fury, and we're going to destroy them, to now a murderous dictator. Kim Jong-un is Donald Trump's best friend, to the point where when doing a press conference with the Japanese prime minister on what should have been a great, great visit for President Trump, he decided to remind everybody he was okay with Kim Jong, and which was against the thought of the Japanese premier and prime minister, rather, and John Bolton and many in his administration who advocate a tough line against this man, this murderous dictator, autocrat. Keep in mind that Donald Trump said this guy was the worst world on the earth a year ago. He's done nothing to change it. He's also done that in a different way, but same storyline with Iran, first backing out of this great treaty that was negotiated over 10 years in terms of stabilizing the development of nuclear weapons by Iran. And he decided to back out, as you know. And then after he backed out, he got all upset that there was something going on in Iran, even though there wasn't. There were no reports. There's an agency over there basically inspecting the nuclear situation and so forth. But last week he was going to Iran wouldn't be on the face of the earth. He was going to decimate it. And now his voice says, oh, no, you know, the people in Iran are great. I'm not looking for a regime change. I just want them to work on this nuclear situation. Well, as commentators have pointed out, he already had a deal that somebody else named Obama and Kerry helped create, and he ran away from it. So again, I repeat, if it wasn't so serious, it would be incredible laughable. And I must tell you, as an American, I'm glad I'm not traveling lately to Europe or anywhere else. I'd hate to be in a restaurant where people stood up and started laughing at me. We are the laughing stock of the world. And you people who voted for this guy, enjoy yourself.
You know, I spent a good part of Sunday afternoon, or was it Monday afternoon? CNN, which I'm not really happy with particularly any mainstream network, but I was watching these documentaries that they were putting on the air, and they put one on a great series on the Bush family. Okay, George Herbert Walker Bush, the original Bush, that was just outstanding, and they followed it up with documentaries that they had done on Clinton and the Bush after Clinton, and it was truly amazing to see the difference that started out with Bill Clinton replacing George Bush. Okay, so they started off with George Bush, Clinton, then they went to Bush, then they went to Obama. And it really was amazing to see how different these people and these families are. And yet when they became president, I'm not talking policy, I'm talking about how they handled the office of the presidency, how similar they were.
Well, they basically tuned in to the dignity of the office, the importance of the office, the honor of the office, the wonderful blessing that was bestowed upon them to lead this country, and they basically stepped up to the plate and became, if you would, a little bit bigger to live up to that. I think we all know the obvious in the current administration. The current president and his family are doing everything possible to milk the office of president for their own personal gain. It's wonderful to have your own business and be an advisor to the president and really not have much responsibility because you've not been an elected official. But Jared and Ivanka Kershaw, they made $82 million last year. Now, if they're devoting 110% to being an advisor, wow, they must be really brilliant. I'm stating it in very simplistic terms. I know they have businesses, but that's not the point. The point is when you step up to the plate for your country, then you do it for your country, not for yourself. But, you know, back to the positive, it really is fascinating, the lives of these people, the Bushes and the Clinton and the Obamas, who came from the circumstance they came from. But there is this incredible, it's like the passing of a mantle. I remember seeing George Bush Sr. He was giving a speech at the Asian Society, which friends of ours in California, I guess they were members at the time, and they couldn't, and from California, they couldn't make it. So we went, and we were on the left side of the stage, and I was watching him. And both my wife and I said, what is it about this guy? He's no longer president, but there's something about the man. He had another dimension, might be too big a word, but he had an aura about him that was of dignity and respect. And, you know, I never really agreed with his policies, but as I grew to know him, the senior, I really grew in great admiration of him and what he and his family had done over the years. The best story I know about Bush Sr., 18 years old, coming from privilege, could have gone to college, went and enlisted in the Second World War, was shot down in the Pacific, and after being shot down in the Pacific and rescued after X amount of days on a raft, he went back to active duty. In those days, you didn't go back into active duty, at least not quickly. But he was a patriot from the beginning of time. And we saw that as he went through. He made a number of mistakes. And I say I didn't agree with his policies. But I will always respect and revere him as one of the presidents in this country.
You know, here's the whole thing. They also had a special on John McCain, which ran. Now, and like I said, they also did President Obama and President Clinton. And they even went back to Mr. Nixon. And here's the difference between from Nixon forward on. Everybody who was in that office, whether you agreed with their policies or not, treated the office of presidency with the respect it deserved. Richard Nixon did not. I think Richard Nixon was a genius when it came to some foreign policies, opening the talks with China. I think he really was an incredibly smart man who was just overtaken with power and tried to become king, disrespecting the office, and he paid the price for it. You look at all the other presidents after that, really, Gerald Ford, and then you just go on from there. Ronald Reagan, you could disagree with his handling of everything, but he respected and handled the office. Jimmy Carter, who was just the wrong place at the wrong time, a great human being.
I was just going to mention that because I was just going to mention Carter in the scheme of things. Look how the pendulum Look who begat who begat who begat who.
But he should never have been president. It was just an office that he wasn't suited for. But you see what a great man he was. But he still respected the office. That's the thing we don't see right now. And as a matter of fact, it's not only Donald Trump that doesn't respect the office. I do believe it is the United States Senate that does not respect the office and have the office of presidents where it belongs. That's the problem we face, Jim, that, you know, the presidency is not being operated as the presidency. There's always been disagreements in policy. It doesn't matter. Jim, you and I are very similar, but we disagree on a lot of different things as well. Republicans and Democrats disagreed with the presidency, but it wasn't like this now. There is absolutely no respect for the separation of powers. There's no respect for the office of president. There's no respect for the power of Congress. They've given it all away. And there's no respect for the Supreme Court. We are in a really, really sad situation.
We very definitely are.
And I'm telling you, if you would have looked at these men, Republicans and Democrats, you would have said to yourself, there's one thing that tied all of them together. Their respect and reverence for the office of presidency. And it's amazing when you watch it.
I don't want to say it goes back to specifically, because there's no such thing as single factor causation. But when Mitch McConnell basically said, we're going to make sure, our one job here is to make sure that none of Obama's policies get enacted, basically.
Well, the first thing he said is, the first thing we have to make sure is that he's a one-term president. Then when he became a two-term president, we have to see that we never...
What I'm saying is for people whose little time frame has been accordioned, we're going back to 2008.
That's when the real slide began, during the Clinton administration, and took off the disrespect for the office after that. But the people that were in the office, I'm sorry, they did respect the office and the presidency and the powers it holds. I don't know how to put it any other way, Jim.
Politics has always been a contact sport, but this is. There's been
rules to the context.
Yeah, it's like there was some sort of unwritten rule change going back to Lee Atwater even.
There's just no rules left anymore, Jim. That's a good way to put it. There's no rules. There's no boundaries.
Well, this is why, as citizens, we have got to become more informed than we've ever been, more active in whatever way that means politically, beyond just the knowledge. Getting involved in groups to figure out who are the best people to do things in our country in terms of running it. And I think you've really hit on it in terms of the people in the Senate. We need to start being much more circumspect on who we elect to any office, starting with the Senate. And it's about just what you said. It's always been just a value, this respect for the dignity of the people who are running our offices to guide us. The respect that is generated by the character of the person who we are voting for. So therefore, we're supposed to go and do the research. I don't know why it just flits into my mind, but there's a guy named Doug Hunter, who's a military vet, who's, I don't know if he's been convicted yet, of some kind of crime regarding politics. But this man came out and said, well, you know, I took a selfie, when he was in the service, a selfie next to a dead combatant, trying, I guess, to support for some reason those people who have been convicted, those military people who have been convicted by their peers of killing innocent non-combatants in the theater of war. Doug Hunter is the son of a prominent politician in California. What kind of virus has inflicted that poor person that he is such an ugly demonstration of an American? And unfortunately, we have a lot of that going on, which is not really being addressed. And we're the ones who are, it's up to us now. It's up to us to address it. And it's up to us to get off our duffs and learn. It's up to us to get out there and talk to those people who we want to help, be it children in a school, veterans, politicians who are running for office, who want some input, people are running for office who want some support from volunteers. But we need to be more and more involved. Years ago, Marshall said on this show, people needed to pay more attention to the local politics. And if you want to look at the way the courts have changed, it's because the Democrats didn't look at the local politics. And the Republicans did. They saw it as a way to get more power. And the net result is we've had all kinds of judges that have been put up, firstly, for judgeship, and then approved, who are weak. Forget which side of the aisle they're on. They're just weak. They don't have the background, legally or experience-wise, to make significant, honest judgments in cases.
All right. Well, we are out of time, Jim. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm sorry. You're just going to have to go to the powers that be. We need another 3 days for this. All right. Okay. Good to talk to you. Good conversation.
All right. Take care, buddy.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Have a good week. I love you. Bye.
Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets here on Robinhood Radio.
He didn't even get to lawn care tips.
Robinhoodradio.com.